start with this. How many promises, think about this, have you broken? I mean, if we were to list them out, just write down a whole list of promises, how many promises have you broken? Who here is sitting next to somebody who's broken a promise? Yeah, I know it. Those heathens. We all have. How many times do you think of it? Who here has had an opportunity to not keep your word? Raise your hand. You have had a time in life where you haven't kept your word. That's all of us, right? We wait till the last minute. We'll say, I know we're really professionals at this, where we'll text, yeah, I'll be there at this event at such and such a time. You know, it's 2 days away. And then, you know, what you're really saying is the thing you don't text. You don't say the quiet part out loud unless a better opportunity comes along. Unless I'm really tired and I don't want to come. Unless I'm watching Amazon Prime. Right? Or you have that one friend, oh, man, I can't come. I'm sorry, my grandma died. And you text back, again? Like, how many times does your grandma die? Every time I have an event, you can't make it. We are prone as people to break our promises. How many know that's true? We don't keep our word. We're kind of flaky. We're a little, you know, unreliable. And not everybody's as bad as the next, but we all struggle with this issue. Today, we're in our series called Why Jesus? Everyone say, Why Jesus? It is one of the most important questions you will ever ask. Why is Jesus important? Why did he come? Did he come? Why did he die on the cross? Why was he buried in a tomb? Why did he rise from the dead? Why should I care? We're going to be answering all those questions. And I'm just going to preface this message with a little bit of a disclaimer. Today's going to be a little bit different than a normal message that I would preach, because I'm going to give you a lot of factual information, but there's a point behind it, and I want you just to bear with me as we go through it. But here's what we're going to learn. Why Jesus? The answer today is this: because God keeps his promises. Anybody? God keeps his promises, and that is something we desperately need to know. People who don't keep their promises are often considered and viewed as unreliable. You know that? We don't, I can't really trust that person. They never follow through on their word. Here's what our mind sometimes struggles to understand. A God who always keeps his word all the time. It's a little hard for our brains to connect with that, to have a God that we serve who has for all time kept his word and his promise every single time. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He doesn't say one thing and do another. So in our relationship to God, sometimes we're bent by this humanistic idea of him. And in fact, it's so far beyond our understanding because he always and will forever keep his promises. That's a powerful truth and a hopeful truth for you and me, because what it says is that, man, then maybe I can rely on God too, because God keeps his promises. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It puts it this way. It says, for all, everyone say all.
All.
For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. So for God's glory, all of his promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And so when we say, why Jesus? Because God keeps his promises. What we're saying is God fulfilled his promises in the person of Jesus Christ and will continue to fulfill his promises in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it is tradition almost for pastors to say, can I get an amen? So can I get an amen?
Amen?
Okay, now, I don't typically do that because I just, hopefully you do it naturally. But our culture doesn't say amen very much. We don't, you know, this time in our life, we don't say amen like in the old days, you know. Amen, hallelujah. Okay, we don't say those kind of things. But it really means yes, or I agree, or I concur. So for instance, if you're in life and you know, somebody says, hey man, do you want to have breakfast for dinner? You say, amen. Amen, God and pancakes, that's what I want. Or if somebody was to say to you, hey, do you want to watch a movie where things blow up? You say, amen. You know, we wouldn't really say, amen, yes, I do. Watch. Do you want to go on the men's fishing trip and leave your wife and kids behind for a few days? Amen and hallelujah. Right? Praise him. People are getting real excited over here. But do you want to trust in a God who always keeps his word and will never fail and will be completely faithful for all eternity? Yes and amen. Because all of his promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. which is the first thing we need to grasp on the promises of God, and that's this, that all Scripture points to Jesus. When you pick up your Bible, and I hope that you do, you need to grasp this concept that all of God's Word points to Jesus, especially the Old Testament. It's like a giant arrow that points us to Jesus Christ. Now, you see a lot of arrows in your life that you might not be aware of. You see arrows that say turn right or turn left or this way. You know, the restrooms are this way or whatever, right? Chick-fil-A is this way. Or you'll see arrows all the time. Your blinkers, you know, left arrow, turn right, turn left, stop. Do U-turn, don't do U-turn. Arrows are all over the place. Here's the common denominator about arrows. Every single one of them is pointing somewhere. And when you look at Scripture and you're going like, hey, I'm trying to grasp what's going on here, what you really need to know is that it's telling us and teaching us at some way, in some point, Jesus Christ. And that God fulfills his promises in Christ Jesus, and we can trust in God because he's always faithful to do those things. In fact, Jesus said this about his promises. He said, you search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me. The Scriptures point to who? Jesus. The Scriptures point to me, Jesus said, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. So we know that all Scripture points to Jesus, and when we read it, we can understand what it means for God to keep his promise. In fact, if you read your Bible and it doesn't bring you to Jesus, you're not reading it correctly. You're not grasping what it's talking about. Why does this matter? Why does it matter that all Scripture points to Jesus? Because of this one truth. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises. All of God's promises find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and they are yes and amen in him. Now, we're going to be going somewhere on this little train, and I want you to pay attention to it because it really gets us this understanding of how God, through the centuries, has been diligent to keep his promise. To keep his promise. I'm going to list for you a few things in a minute, quite a few things about the promises of God that were given to us through the audible voice of God or the prophetic voice of God in Scripture. And some of you are going to geek out about it. Some of you are like, oh man, I love this stuff. This is awesome. Some of you are going to be like, oh my gosh. Other people are like, wow, that's interesting, because maybe today you're a skeptic. Maybe you're like, why should I believe in Jesus? Maybe you've come to church 100 times. You're still like, I don't know if I'm sure. Well, this is going to help you. It's actually one of the factual ways and reasons in which we should believe in Jesus Christ. And as we go through this, I want you to think of this concept of GPS. Everyone say GPS. GPS. Who here has ever used a GPS? Just using your maps, you're using GPS. Okay? You don't. Thomas Brothers is not a GPS for some of you old school people. And think of GPS, because what GPS does is it tells us how to get somewhere. Okay? And the Old Testament, if you will, is kind of God's GPS system that gets us to Jesus. So I came up with this cheesy church thing, and that's this. God gave us the Jesus GPS. Everyone say the Jesus GPS. Okay, I know that. I get it. It's a little cheesy. I get it. But hopefully it sticks to your brain. God gave us the Jesus GPS, and I'm going to take you through this GPS, you know, turn right, turn left, turn. But God's not like, you know, Google Maps or Siri will say, I'm going to save you 2 seconds by making 20 turns to get over here. God's pretty clear, crystal clear, on keeping his promise, and he GPSs us to Jesus so that we might hope in him and trust in him for eternal life and know that he's always faithful to do what he said he's going to do. When God sets out to do something, listen, he always does it. He always does it. And so as we go through this, that God gave us the Jesus GPS, understand what we're talking about. So let me lay the groundwork for you. This was taught to me by a guy named Josh McDowell. Pretty powerful stuff, but think about it this way. In the Old Testament, the Bible's broken up in two parts, called the Old Testament and the New Testament, all makes up one whole book. In the Old Testament, there's approximately 333 prophecies about the coming of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension. So 333 to 350 prophecies about Jesus. That's a lot. How many know that that's a lot? There's a ton of them. And all of these prophecies were at the closest written about 500 years before Jesus was born. So there's a lot of like gap there. How many have ever promised to do something down the road? Hey, you know what? Let's do this. What's this? March? hey, let's do this in June. For us, in our crazy world, that's a long way down the road. How many know that's true? June, that's a long ways away. And you plan something in June, and you know, you even put it on your calendar, but then June comes around and the event comes around and you forgot. Anybody? Totally forgot. I'm like, dude, it's been on your calendar for months. That's not how God works. God can say something thousands of years prior and he never forgets what he's going to do because he always keeps his promises. And so as we go through this, think about this, as we go through this line that God gave us, the Jesus GPS, and here's what we're going to start with. The first pin in the GPS system comes to us in Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, when God says that Jesus would be born the seed of a woman. Now this is important. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they sinned and they couldn't be in the garden anymore because they were sinful, and the punishment for sin was death, and so God was going to cast them out. And in this casting them out of the garden, God makes this promise, and he says, listen, I'm going to send my servant, and he's going to bruise your heel, but that servant's going to crush the head of the serpent. And so that seed of the woman is going to be the promise that's going to come through Jesus Christ. Now bear with me, because all throughout Scripture, everyone else was born the seed of the man. I'm going to get a little technical with you for a second. And so this is thousands of years before Christ, and then some time goes by, and men begin to turn away from God. In fact, the Bible says that the thoughts and inclinations of man's heart and thoughts were only evil continually, but one guy found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and his name was Noah. And God told Noah, hey, build an ark, and I'm going to save you, I'm going to punish, and I'm going to judge all the sinful people. Build this ark, you and your boys, your three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and I want you to stay in the ark, and all this stuff happens. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 5 and beyond. And then they go, and then the waters recede, and then God makes a promise to Noah and to us. He goes, listen, out of all these three boys, I'm going to eliminate two-thirds of them, and then the lineage, out of the lineage of Shem, is going to come my promised seed of the woman. Now bear with me, because now God has destroyed everyone on the earth. He's made it new, and he says, listen, it's not going to come out of these. I'm going to be very specific. Here's the next pin in the GPS. He says, it's going to come out of the line of Shem. Well, you fast forward a couple thousand years, and then you have this guy named Abraham. Who's ever heard of Abraham, right? Abraham's a big guy in the Bible times, and especially in our scriptures, as he has the promise of God. And God says, listen, Abraham, I know you don't have any kids, but through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is a big promise. So God makes this promise to Abraham. Now Abraham, who didn't have any children, then has two sons, and his two sons were named Isaac and Ishmael. And God says to Abraham, listen, I'm not choosing Ishmael, I'm choosing Isaac, and out of Isaac, I will send the seed of the woman, the promise, the Messiah. So listen, he will be born of the seed of the woman, he'll be of the lineage of Shem, a descendant of Abraham, and he'll be of the line of Isaac. Well, then come along in Scripture, and Isaac has two sons named Jacob and Esau. How many have ever heard of those guys before? This is a big deal because, you know, Jacob's a little squirrely, and Esau, well, he was kind of a moron. He sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. I mean, it wasn't even chili. So he's not too bright. And God says, listen, I'm going to let you know that out of these two guys, I'm eliminating 50% of them. And I want you to know specifically, I'm picking the line of Jacob so that the lineage of Jesus Christ is going to come from that line. Now, here's where it gets broader. Bear with me, because I told you it's going to get technical. Some of you read the lineages in your Bible, you're like, oh my gosh, that's boring. I'm going to help you understand it. And he says, listen, out of the line of Jacob. Now, Jacob had 12 sons, okay? It's a little nuance. He has 12 sons, and God says, listen, I'm going to eliminate 11/12 of those guys, not kill. When I say eliminate, it doesn't mean he killed them. He just says, I'm not choosing them. He goes, but I'm going to choose one. These are what's known now as the 12 tribes of Judah, or of Israel. And he chooses out of the 12 tribes of Israel, Judah. Everyone say Judah. He says, listen, out of the tribe of Judah is going to come the seed of the woman, who is the lineage of Shem, who's a descendant of Abraham, who's of the line of Isaac, who's of the line of Jacob, and of the tribe of Judah. And out of all these families in Judah, he goes, I'm going to pick one family, the family of Jesse. So he eliminates potentially hundreds of families, and he says, out of the family of Jesse is going to come my Messiah, my king, who's going to reign forevermore. Are you still following me right now? I don't want you to go to sleep. This is a big deal. And he says, oh man, so out of all those, now Jesse had 8 kids. So then they're like, well, what's going to happen? So then along comes Samuel, and God uses Samuel to prophesy over him and says, listen, I'm not choosing all those things because God doesn't look at the outward. He looks at the heart. I'm picking David. And out of the family and the tribe, a house of David, will come my Messiah. So watch this. So born of the seed of the woman, lineage of Shem, descendant of Abraham, line of Isaac, line of Jacob, tribe of Judah, family of Jesse, house of David. That's a lot of pinpoints in the GPS. But watch, because here's where God is being specific. He's saying, listen, I want you to know that I am, through history, going to keep my promises. And when you see my promise fulfilled, what you're going to learn is that I am a God who keeps my promises to my people for all eternity. Now wait, there's more. Because the Bible also teaches us that that the Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced on a tree. Now you might think for yourself, oh, that's a big deal. A lot of people were crucified. True story, they were. But this prophecy was given 800 years before the Romans even started crucifying people on trees, on crosses. 800 years. And God says, listen, the seed of the woman will come, the Messiah will come, Jesus will come, the Christ will come, and his hands and feet will be pierced on a tree. That's a pretty specific pinpoint. But wait, there's more. Because he also says in Scripture that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And we know the Christmas story of that, when he says, listen, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Son to be born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And all of the angels sang about it, and the shepherds stand in awe, and the wise men came and worshipped him because of it, and it was fulfilled in the Scriptures. And it didn't stop there, because out of all of the places in the world, out of all of the cities, out of all the countryside, God chooses one place, and he says, now listen, I'm going to pinpoint it even more specifically for you, because he will be born in Bethlehem. I want you to know exactly where he's going to be. In fact, when the wise men came, they said, hey, where's the Messiah to be born? And they came, the scribes came and says, in Bethlehem. And they said, okay, well, we know the place, but they didn't even go see him. Only the wise men did. That's why they're called wise men. That's actually not, but it is kind of funny. And they're going to be, he's going to be in Bethlehem. Now, here's where it gets a little more amazing, because he says in Scripture that that seed of the woman, who's of the lineage of Shem, a descendant of Abraham, of the line of Isaac, of the line of Jacob, of the tribe of Judah, of the family of Jesse, of the house of David, whose hands and feet will be pierced on a tree, who is born of the virgin in Bethlehem, will be betrayed by a close friend. And not only will he be betrayed, but he'll be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver that will be thrown on the ground, not set on the table, not handed over, but will be thrown on the ground in the temple. And all of those things happened in the life of Jesus. And all of these things will take place before the destruction of the temple, which happened in 70 AD. I have just given you a quick commercial, a very quick commercial, of a few of the 333 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled by himself. Why? Because God always keeps his promises, and his greatest promise in the history of mankind was that he was going to send Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're like, well, okay, well, that's just coincidence. People have that argument. Well, if you're a math geek, the chances of that happening are 10 to the 17th power. That's a big number. So for us blue-collar people, let's break it down a little bit easier. For Jesus, if I was to pick one of you, let's just say Leroy over here, if I was to pick him, and I was to have him, if I was to have him fulfill just 8 of the 333 prophecies, are you following me right now? Just 8 of them. This is what it would be like. A mathematician did this. He said, it would be like me taking him to the state of Texas, covering it 2 feet deep with silver dollars all over the state of Texas, marking one of the silver dollars with a marker, putting it in with all the other silver dollars, mixing it all up, spreading it all out 2 feet wide, blindfolding him and saying, go find the marked one. That is the probability of just one person fulfilling just 8, and Jesus fulfilled 333 of them. Why does that matter? Because you need to know, when you ask the question, why Jesus, it reveals to us that God always keeps his promise, and he always pinpoints us the way to Jesus Christ. And that's good news for you and for me. What does this have to do for me and for you? I'm going to give you three things real quick. It means for you that, number one, you can trust God to keep his promises. You can trust him. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you have some things happening. You're like, man, I just feel like people have failed me. Parents have failed me. Friends have failed me. Life's failed me. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven who loves you and can and will keep his promises. Hebrews 10 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Everyone say faithful. God's faithful. And number two, you can trust God when you don't understand. A lot of things happen in our life we don't understand. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand what's going on. Even when we don't understand, God does. And God has a reason for everything he does on this earth. And he has a reason for what's going on in your life. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So you're not to trust in your own understanding and your own emotions. You're to trust in the God who's faithful to keep his promises. Are you with me? Can I get an amen? Amen. Right. Yep. See how easy that is? Number three, you can trust God, this is a big one, for forgiveness. Oftentimes in our life, if you come to Jesus, later on Satan will try to make you feel guilty all over again. Anybody experience that? He'll try to bring shame on your life. You did this, you did that, you're no good, God doesn't really love you. And the Bible says that when you feel like that, God's greater than our feelings. Why? Because we can trust him for forgiveness because of what Jesus Christ has done. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Everyone say faithful. God is faithful.